What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 3rd, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. It is a trade deadline. And so today, I know you're expecting a list, and normally it comes out tomorrow, because I want to make sure that my list incorporates all of the changes that are going to happen with all the latest trades. And how do you know about those that happen? Well, I'm going to be doing a 4 p.m. trade deadline extravaganza live stream with Paul Spohr. I do it every single year. You can watch it at pitcherlist.com. You can also watch it at twitch.tv/pitcherlist. I'll be there at 4 p.m. We'll have some special guests as well. So 4 p.m. Eastern time to about 6:15, 6:30. You will be hanging out with us as we go through all the trades that have happened and the ones that do happen as the deadline approaches. So I am going to now talk about yesterday's games, and keep in mind that some of these players, they might not actually be starting anymore for their teams, or they might be starting for a different team moving forward. But Anthony Kay does look like he has a rotation spot with the White Sox. I led with him today. And 6.1 innings of 0 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. So not many strikeouts. You don't really have the whiffs that you want, 7 whiffs and just 8% CSW. What has he been doing lately, though, is being a little bit better about pitch separation, getting a lot of outs with the cutter inside to right-handers. The changeup is somewhat down there against the right-handers as well. What I have liked in his previous two starts was his sinker getting inside to left-handers. Didn't really see that this time, and it's not really the negative 17 horizontal movement that I've also seen from it, more like the 15-16. It's a little less impressive to me, as Kay is really just a southpaw who has a kitchen sink approach. And the cutter is cool. Don't get me wrong, I will always like that pitch, but it's actually only a 55% strike pitch here. Actually, the four-seamer really led the way with a 17% swing strike rate, but he doesn't have that put-away offering for right-handers. And that's why you only have a 27% put-away rate overall. That means about a quarter of the batters who saw a two-strike count struck out, which is very, very low. All right, other guys from yesterday. Well, we got to talk about, of course, George Kirby, who had an amazing outing, 7 innings, 0 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, but also 3 strikeouts. And yes, the same exact put-away rate of 27% overall. Same idea here. George Kirby likes to go high four-seamers in 2 strike counts. Guess how many whiffs he earned against righties with that four-seamer, which is spotted upstairs. He had 0 of them. He did get outs. But it's not a put-away offering. And he has a sweeper that, if you took like the average and made a circle around all of them, it's exactly where you want to be, but none of them were in the middle. It was just the circumference of that circle. So that means he had too many outside the zone, too many too far in the zone. He still cannot get that sweeper down and away properly. And he's trying to go inside sinkers a little bit more, but it's to me just, yeah, I'm happy that he went 7 shutout George Kirby. But for him to actually do this consistently, instead of a team like the Twins, who are not very good as we know, I'm not going to believe that this is it. This is opening the door for him to get destroyed again. And his left-handed approach is still not really spectacular either. I'm very frustrated with George Kirby still. I don't know if he's going to stick around in the Mariners. I really hope he gets traded and someone else gets an opportunity to work with him. So we'll see with George Kirby. Walbert Urania, meanwhile, is just doing amazing things still. 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, 7 Ks. The biggest thing, hey, are you throwing your changeup for strikes? Yes, 45% CSW, 83% strike rate. That's what we want to see from Walbert Urania. It's great. 91, 92 on the changeup, not 90 and change. Again, that velocity that we saw last time, that was a boost. Still there. It's all good. Walbert Urania, though, can you please be better with your fastballs and be above 60% strikes? That really will help us stay calm with your 12% overall walk rate for the year. It was 3 walks here, but only 3 hits. But yeah, that's the only thing that really bothers me. And also that sweeper, man, it could be so good, but it's just a 55% strike rate. Oh yeah, 89 miles per hour. It's really like a two-plane curve. I don't know. It's a strange one. It's great. He just has to throw it for strikes and be able to wield it properly. Matthew Liberatore had himself a game. A 58% put away rate overall instead of the 44% that we normally see means that he has 7 Ks instead of, I don't know, like 4 or 5. And he did over shutout baseball in 6 innings. 1 hit, 1 walk. What's going on? Well, his four-seamer had extra vert out of nowhere. The most vert I've seen on it all season. 18 inches of vert. And that led to a 25% swing strike rate on the pitch. Nothing else came close to that mark. While you had the slider earning strikes, you had curveballs earning strikes, changeups galore. Like, all of those things were effective, and then you had the four-seamer that was able to go upstairs and live there for swing strikes a little bit better than usual. Is that going to stick? No, I really don't think it will, but it's better, and that's all I can really give you. It is Rocky Road next, that lovely home park. Fine. I'm okay starting Liberatore in that one. Hopefully that vert sticks. I don't think it will. Kenner Montero, what do you know? He came back to us, or at least his former self of being a whip god. Six innings of 0 runs and 2 hits and 2 walks and 2 strikeouts. Why? Because he was sinker slider to right-handers really effectively, as we've seen in the past. Sinkers inside, sliders away, and then he had good changeups down, getting outs to lefties. I mean, that's really it. It's not an approach that should outline tons of strikeouts. Only a 17% K rate here, but he is holding a 1 whip right now, and he's very much going to be in that Tigers rotation that Scooble has been dealt, and I bet by the end of the day that Casey Mize will be dealt as well. As I continue to check my phone, just in case there is a deal that I have to talk about as I go. Sandy Alcantara against the Mets, 6 innings of shutout ball, 4 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. I think he got away with a little bit as he didn't quite have his pristine command. Everything was soaring a little too high and up in and arm side is really what I'm trying to get at, especially from lefties. But we take this all day. We take this. It's been a lovely run of, I want to say it's like 8 games now of at least 6 innings, say for 1 game. Actually looks like more like 12 games since the start of June. It's pretty awesome. You love to see it. The Marlins aren't dealing him now after possibly dealing him last year. We'll see, probably in the offseason, because they do not want to spend the contract for next year. You have Gavin Williams. You have 5.2 innings of 0 runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts. He was throwing a perfecto. And then to start the 6th inning, you had a failed bunt attempt where that really set guys off. And then you have a single shortly after. So say what you want about that, whatever. Gavin Williams is looking amazing. What do you know? That's 5 straight starts with at least 10 strikeouts. Amazing. Yes, I know it's not 5 of 11 straight, but okay, sure, whatever. He has a 67% overall strike rate. I'm going to say ace is going to ace at this point. Let's be honest, that's 5 straight of double digit Ks and absurd production. And it's just like, yeah, you are absolutely cruising. Kyle Hart led a weird one with the Padres. I should note that in the 4th inning, JP Sears pitched an inning of relief. So if you were wondering if he might start later this week, yes, but no. Also, you have Griffin Cannon going 2 innings as well. And what I think the Padres are going to be doing is acquiring at least 1 starter, if not 2. I think Tyler Mahle would have been a really good get for them, but fine. You're going to see maybe like an Eovaldi go or Casey Mize go, or I think Trevor Rogers should be there. The Padres are in a very competitive situation for the wild card in the National League, and they need starters, just guys who can get them there. Also, Pivetta and Musgrove might be coming back in September, which means they actually would have a good playoff rotation. So something to think about there. I do not expect any of the ones I mentioned, Kyle Hart and JP Sears and Griffin Cannon, to be part of that rotation for much longer. Zach Wheeler unfortunately got rained out. It was 2 innings and then a rain delay, and that was that. But he looked back on track. That is, his fastball was at 95. We did not see that dip to 91. We just saw 93.1 at one point in that 2nd inning, I believe, to lead it off. So we are all good there, and that's very nice to see. Yeah, Kyle Freeland to go a complete game, 1 earned run. Oh my gosh, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts, 19 whiffs in Coors. It's lovely to see it. And it was a game where it was frustrating to honestly watch as the Royals, if you were a Royals fan, where they did not see a fastball they didn't like in the zone as a left-hander. Right? It was just insane to me how many quick outs he got on sinkers and cutters inside. And then he has some really nice changeups, some nice fastballs upstairs for some whiffs, etc. It's a wonderful day, birthday party for Kyle Freeland. But yeah, we're not going to lean into that one. Chase Burns, honestly, doing the Tatsuya Imai, and I know that sounds weird. It was a good start. You know the good starts of Tatsuya Imai? Well, this was 6 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 2 walks, 9 Ks. Why is it Imai? Because Imai would go like 4% swing strikes on his four-seamer, but then 32% on a slider, and that's what Burns is doing. This is also the second straight start that we've seen Chase Burns underneath 97 miles per hour. Not great! I'm a little worried about this. Seeing very few whiffs on the four-seamer as well. So he's now a 96. Chase Burns, this guy that's like 98 all the time, is down to 96. Something to note here. I hope that he's all right. I hope that he can, maybe he's taking it easy. It does look like he was 96 and 96 and 96 in the first three innings. Then he goes down to 95.5 and starts off that inning, I mean, throwing super, super, super slow. So I'm thinking like it's like 93 or so for that four-seamer. 92.7 is as low as it got. And then by the end of it, he's throwing, 97. And then he's throwing 96, 97 in the fifth, and then 97, 98 in the sixth. So I don't know what was going on in that third, fourth inning. Actually, really the fourth inning for Chase Burns. Something was. I don't know. But then he gassed up by the end, so he still has it. So that does at least make me feel a little bit better, but it's something's weird. Something's weird there with Chase Burns. Max Scherzer gets a gold star, which is very strange to give someone who's a future Hall of Famer, which certainly outlined. This is great. Six innings, one run, four hits, one walk, and five strikeouts. That's cool. You threw some decent sliders down and away. He got away with some things, but it's decent. You have four seamers that are, I don't know, they should be hit better than this at 93. I am not convinced that Max Scherzer is someone that you should be focused on. And yes, they dealt away Gausman, but they're getting back Soriano. But now they might be dealing away Shane Bieber in Blue Jays territory. So Scherzer would still have a spot, etc. I'm not interested. Gerrit Cole against the Cubs. This was a weird one because he did have a good four-seamer, 96, 97, and 60% strikes, but only 7% swing strikes on that, while the slider, while it was coming in at 90, 91, which is cool, and wasn't sacrificing any movement for that. The problem here is that it had a 71% strike rate and 12% swing strikes and was just over the plate. 71% strike rate, you heard me agonize, because it shouldn't be. It really should be a pitch he's throwing outside the zone more often, so that should be like 65% or so, right? If he's throwing too many strikes, it tells me that he's lofting it too often, and that's why you don't see many whiffs on it. So the overall outing was 5.2 innings of one earned run, four hits, three walks, and five Ks at Wrigley. It was also a really big dip in vert at 1.5 inches, so that means it's 15-16 for Cole instead of like 17. Which obviously had an effect on the four-seamer dominance as well. Strange one. Still very good. Ace is going to ace. We move on. We're going to start him against Atlanta. Griffin Jacks, five innings, one earned run in zero walks and eight Ks. I mean, I love this. It was two earned runs in the first with an error on the first play and then another error then committed by Jacks. Annoying, two runs came in, extended the game a little bit. 82 pitches overall. They didn't want to continue him here. Fine. Like, if anyone's upset that you got five innings and one earned run, four hits, zero walks, and eight Ks, I guess you're in a quality start league, and okay, you want to lower him a little bit in your rankings, but yeah, Griffin Jacks is dope and makes this field up. All right, we have other guys to talk about, like Robert Scott, Jacob Mizorowski, Colin Ray, Kate Cavalli, and of course, some of the bad starts, like Landon Roop and Emmett Sheehan. What are we doing there? I'll tell you about those guys and more after this break. Robert Stock, five innings, one earned run, three hits, zero walks, and four Ks for the Mets. And you realize, yeah, Peralta is already dealt. Clay Holmes might be dealt the Adobe. You might see more Robert Stock, and I think that's awesome. I love that he's back, and he's throwing harder. He's at 96 with his four-seamer, 92 with his cutter. That's up three ticks from the old cutter. But this is a different cutter. This is one that has a lot more lift and is not going past the plane of 1,000 cuts. That is, it is still positive on the horizontal side. So close to the four-seamer. It's really just taking the four-seamers like 10 vert and then just going sideways more. It's not necessarily so exciting, but it is kind of cool when you think about it. You have two fastballs, different velocities, and also a different horizontal, but the same vert to them. That is being played really well by Robert Stock at the moment. I don't know how much I want to trust it. It is also a 1.6 height adjusted VA for the four-seamer, and he did get whiffs on that pitch upstairs, and that's cool. That was against lefties, but it is just a little, I don't know if it's that exceptional. It was really just those two pitches. And if he does get some favorable starts moving forward, it is something to consider as he is now stretched out to 71 pitches. That's Robert Stock. Jacob Mizorowski did wonderful things against the Angels. He said that he hated the mound there so much. So I'm sorry, it was only 17 whiffs. Oh my gosh, but 7 innings of 10 Ks, 200 runs, 2 hits in 1 walk. And maybe that's why you saw the Wade Meckler, who's going to tell his kids that he hit a home run off of a Jacob Mizorowski cutter up and in at 95. Okay. Colin Ray did really well against the Yankees. The Yankees are not the strongest offense, and I should be ranking that, or at least taking that into consideration more of my ranks. I should have put Colin Ray into my questionable start tier and probably should have had him as my streamer here. Six innings of 200 runs, three hits, one walk, and seven Ks. He's just done a really good job against mediocre offenses, or like decent ones, but just not elite ones, right? And he's doing more of the same stuff. We just keep rolling with this. I don't think that Colin Ray would lose his job. I think Javier Saad with Gausman appearing and maybe even another person. You have Cade Cavalli going against Atlanta versus Cincinnati and the Mets next. This was against Atlanta and he was fine. Six innings of 200 runs, six hits, one walk, and three Ks. He had an under run in there too. Look, you see the velocity still up for both the curveball and the four-seamer, and he's throwing 18% cutters. That's really everything that matters. We're really, really happy there. I should mention, the next one for Colin Ray is at Kansas City. We want that one. All right, you want Peter Lambert too, who's the Holly now because he got eight strikeouts, 16 whiffs here. He's up to 24% strikeout rate for the year. 5.2 innings of 200 runs and three hits and two walks. Everything is wonderful. We love this from Peter Lambert. Even when his changeup command is not very good to left-handers, it's still fine. J.R. Richie, we do not want this. There is nothing to latch on to that says, hey, cool, this is everything I've ever wanted from this fella. He does not get whiffs on anything. He's only got one whiff, I think, on each of his pitches. Maybe two on the curve, it looks like, but one on the slider. And no, thank you so much. Let's see here. Kyle Bradish, his start became shortened by the rain, just like with Zach Wheeler, but it was three innings of 200 runs, two hits, two walks, and three Ks before it. And keep in mind, Bradish, 16 curveballs and eight sliders were not good. Low strike rate on the curveball, low strike rate on the slider. He did have some whiffs on them, but this is not the breaking ball pair that we want. At least it's in Texas next. We like that. It's two starts now of him not really doing that, and I'm a little concerned, but it should bounce back. Taj Bradley, what do you know? He didn't know where it goes. It's amazing. You have Taj Bradley, six innings, 300 runs, 7 hits, four walks, and two Ks, eight whiffs. This is the Taj Bradley that I remember, and I know I'm like, see, I told you guys, I shouldn't because he's had such a good year, but ultimately he has been a 3.7 ERA, 1.24 whip with a 27% K rate. And about 10% walk rate. He had this one bad stretch in the middle, and everything else has been really, really good. This is one of the few bumps that he has had outside of that four-game stretch at the end of May and early June. But you did have the five-run game against the Cubs, and where he had three walks there, but six Ks. Only two strikeouts is shocking. He hasn't done that all season. It's been a minimum of three, which he's done twice. So very, very strange. You just didn't get to two-strike counts at all in this one. Only 34% of batters, and it's normally 55% of plate appearances see it. And then his put away rate of those was only 20%. So one in five of those guys who did see it. Not normal for Taj Bradley, should be better, but still, this is the floor you are putting up with. And listen, it was a quality start. Six innings, 300 runs. I don't know how he did that with 11 base runners, but he did. Jake Bennett against the Dodgers. Now, it was against the Dodgers, so we didn't really have the highest expectations. And keep in mind that we saw four strikeouts, three strikeouts, four and four in the previous four games. What do you know? Fifth straight with four strikeouts or fewer, with only four strikeouts, 5.2 innings of 300 runs, six hits, and two walks against the Dodgers. The big concerning element is the four-seamer's swing strike rate is still down. It's 8% here. It's normally, at least for the season that we've seen, 13%, but that was even higher because he hasn't been getting whiffs lately. So that's the issue. He's not really getting it upstairs and doing the proper swatch lifestyle of really high four-seamers and low changeups. It was also the Dodgers, and he's going to host the Athletics and then go to Toronto and host the Diamondbacks. I'm still going to go for this, but it's not quite that level of Holly that you want. It's kind of like a worse Matthew Boyd at this point. And Kumar Rocker made some changes last time that I really liked, of having a proper sinker at 17 inches of run and leaning to that slider and cutter effectively. Yeah, not very good here. The sinker did not get as inside as it did before, but that really wasn't the problem. Just a lot of hittable sliders to right-handers. He didn't get it down as much as he used to. And the cutter didn't help as much as you normally see. And he got trounced by Koufax. Oh my gosh, 5.1 innings of 300 runs, 10 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. But he still had 15 whiffs, 17% swing strike rate. It should be better. I don't really love leaning too heavily into Kumar Rocker. Also, he's going against the Orioles next, which I don't love. And going into Sacre Verde, which isn't good. And then he's also hosting the Nationals. Not a good schedule for Kumar Rocker. All right, I think we move past it. Merrill Kelly against the Guardians was a very disappointing outing against the Dodgers next. Oh, gosh, I don't want to do that. He will get Rocky Road. But this one was at Cleveland. 5 innings, 5 earned runs, 8 hits, 4 walks, 5 Ks. No, why? The changeup that had such good command last time, just under 60% strikes. And then you had a curveball at 4-seamer at 52% strikes, not cutting it. It's just not enough from Merrill Kelly in this one. Unfortunately, he just could not make the whole approach work. The Guardians were more patient than he's used to. And inside the zone once against right-handers. Just once. Oh my gosh. Seth Lugo at Coors. Not good. More at 11. I mean, he gets the Cubs and the Angels and then hosts the Athletics next, which is fine. But if you're in a 15-team league, that's the only real consideration I'd have. I mean, 50% strikes, 48 on the cutter, 50% on the curve is just, oof, no thanks. 53% overall, Seth Lugo. I feel like you can do better than this. Landon Roop, oh man, I've been saying for a while that he's well-versed in locating his curveball and changeup down, right? And he had a bad start last time, and I was like, this doesn't feel right. 3 walks and 1 strikeout. He backed that up with 4 walks and 6 strikeouts in 4.2 innings with 5 earned runs and 6 hits. What's going on? This one was weird. Why? 23 changeups at 23% usage and just 35% strikes. Oh man, that's like half the number it should be. The curveball was good, 24% swing strike rate, but when you have such a bad changeup and it's a major part of your approach, yeah, it's not going to go well. It's simple as that. I do think that it's going to be better, but yeah, this was not good. He has an amazing schedule. Tigers, then hosting the Rockies in Oracle Park, and then going against the Guardians in Cleveland. That's just too good. Emmett Sheehan is absurdly frustrating. I would say the greatest hipster of the season. I mean, the whole year's marks right now is a 5.29 ERA, 1.29 WHIP, 26% K rate, 7% walk rate. K minus BB, right, is just like, what is going on? How is this happening? This was 2.2 innings of 5 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. He allowed 3 home runs in the third inning. So it was back-to-back to start. Then he got a fly out and then another home run. Oh, my gosh. And they weren't good pitches. They really were not good pitches. And he deserved to get punished by the Red Sox. He was also really down in velocity. The last one there was a 92-mile-per-hour 4-seamer to Yoshida. And he hit that because, yeah, I'm going to do that. It's just so frustrating because he had a 21% swing strike rate. 12 whiffs here in his 58 pitches. But Sheehan might get displaced. They just got Tarek Skubal. They're getting Blake Snell back end of the week. Eric Lauer's getting wins and is doing more than Sheehan is. You might just see him in long relief, and that's that. Oh, gosh. If you have been holding on to Emmett Sheehan, you have something else that's amazing on the wire, yeah, it might be time. Gage Jump, 6 earned runs, 3.2 innings, 4 hits, 6 walks, and 5 Ks. Very disappointing. You should be moving on from this. This is -2 ticks of velocity, which is very concerning. He did try to push it in the third inning, got to 95, but he started off this game 93.5 and 93.7. Not at all the Gage Jump that we want, not to mention the slider command terrible, 38% strike rate, no, and the change of 40%. I mean, yikes. He's going to Boston at least next time, but they like left-handers, and then he has to come back to Sacra Verde against the Rangers, just move on from Gage Jump. And Mitch Keller, yeah, not very good. I know that it had been good for two. It was 0 earned runs and 2 earned runs across 10.1 innings combined. This was 2 earned runs of 7 earned runs. Please do not trust Mitch Keller. He's down to 91.9 on his 4-seamer. Oh, gosh. But all right, that is it. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. Remember, the list is tomorrow on Tuesday. Trade deadline is today at 4 p.m. Eastern Time with Paul Spohr, the trade deadline extravaganza. You can watch it at pitcherlist.com or twitch.tv/pitcherlist. Tune in there. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.